Hello everyone. So when I was an adolescent, that is dictionary wording for being a teenager, I do remember I would sneak into the homes that girls lived in, teenage girls lived in, to have sex with them in their bedrooms. In fact, we would sneak into the homes of their parents that they lived in to have sex in their bedrooms with them. And sometimes we even would sneak into the homes of their parents, and they lived with their parents at the time. And we ended up having sex on their parents' bed within their parents' bedrooms. Trauma made us adolescents, them as girls and me as a boy, do a lot of cunning recklessness, a lot of wily calamities indeed. I'm not proud about any of this. I am dismayed about all of this. As a pre-adolescent, meaning before the age of 13, I was sexually active with girls in my age bracket all the way up from 5 to 13. But in each age that I was, I slept with girls in my age bracket. So if I was 5, I was having sex with 5-year-olds. Then if I was 6, same thing. And it was the same thing for each age to work your way up there. I do not encourage having sex in anybody's home without their permission. I was doing that because when I was 5, I saw adults do that. And my mom's brother had sex in my mother's home, her apartment, without her permission. I never had sex in my parents' home, and I am grateful for that. That is a saving grace for me. So the subject of teenagers having sex in their parents' home has been a sensitive subject for me my entire life. because I struggled with, was it consensual? Because there are states that say 16 is the legal age, 17 is legal age, 18 is the legal age. I think it should be 18 years of age across the board in terms of age of consent laws everywhere, but I struggle with that. So it's hard to fully answer that question because I was having sex before the age of consent laws. I was a boy having sex with girls, and they were all in my age bracket. So I've wrestled with the question about teenagers having sex in their parents' home because a lot of people think it's a no-brainer. They're not supposed to do that. Why is that so hard for you, so easy? For me, it's not. And I'll tell you why. When you're a young person and your urges are powerful, I just don't like the idea of sneakiness happening to children. I don't like it in adults, but it's the most difficult when it happens in children. That's hard for me to answer because I understand that parental figures are authority figures. I get that. So you can't be too cool with kids, I know. At the same time, it's like, well, to be realistic, it's sexual experimentation in teenagers. It's not about the degradation of anyone. Teenage sexual exploration is, I'm trying my best to learn what these urges are about and how to go about these urges. So for me, I've always went, well, maybe we shouldn't be hard on teenagers because of what's in their biology. And at the same time, my mindset is, I don't want them to have to sneak off to have sex. That would really bother me. A part of me is like, well, if it's better done under my roof, as long as they're all of the same age bracket. And for me, I'm not encouraging sexual catastrophes. I'm not encouraging sexual rampage. It's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, I don't want to have a relationship with children where, especially teenage children, where you think something's not happening, but it's actually happening. And you would have known if you would have had the kind of rapport with your teenage children that would have made it clear that that's happening. So that's always been a difficult question. Like, especially the most difficult is age of consent. Is it better to help them buy a house or an apartment at 18 so they can start being sexual, or do I work with parents to make sure to have sex at home safely, or do we just say no, let's stick with purchasing them their own place for them at 18 so they can do that kind of stuff? That's a tough one. That's really difficult. Because I don't want to... Because, yes, I need to be a parent. And so there's obvious boundaries there. But I also don't want to be closed off from them. And that's something I look forward to talking to other parents about. Because I want to make sure that sex-positive parenting is what we agree on. I also say this. For me, I said to myself that the age of consent laws get in the way the most, because it's like, well, it's not realistic to expect kids to abstain from sex totally because of their brains. And at the same time, it's more like, more than likely it's going to happen. So how do we go about it in a way where we're not breaking any laws and we're not too cool with the kids, but also we're not bump on the log over the top serious, you know? And that's not an easy balance. I feel like when I look at my own life, I remember that, yes, young ladies would clean up and do laundry. Because, you know, either laundromat was down the street from them, or they had built-in laundry in their homes. Usually they had built-in laundry in their homes, so we would clean up the smell, clean up everything after the sex was over. And the girls I was sleeping with in adolescence, they were making sure that I can get condoms without having to go anywhere. They had friends who would go to free clinics, and their friends who were cool with me would get me free condoms. So of course, when I was a boy, I had a lot of unprotected sex, because, you know, 5 to 13, I didn't wear a condom till I turned 14, so I never got anybody pregnant. That's what I know. If I did, the kind of females I was with, they would not have kept quiet about that. They would have told me and made sure somebody told me. Back then, never happened. Proves to me that it never happened, because we had to kind of rapport. Like, if you get pregnant, just tell me and I'll clean the baby and take care of it. Never occurred. Okay, a teenager, you know, give me larger size condoms. So I definitely remember that happening. So, at the time, a lot of guys would make homophobic, transphobic remarks in joke form against me, but the young ladies would just point and laugh at them. Because they would say, there is no way that Antonio can pull girls, meaning attract. And so whenever I did, I never gloated, never really talked to the guys making fun of me together. But because I was always attracting them. It was shocking to those dudes in my age bracket. They were amazed that we young ladies wasn't trying too hard. And ladies were the main ones trying hard with me. So I remember being a teenager, humping around like the Gap Band. No diss to the Gap Band, I just made a pop culture reference to one of their songs called Humping. Overall, the girls would flock to me, and they were promiscuous with me, and I was promiscuous with them. And so I remember the dudes were openly complaining about me. When they were around me, they were like, Antonio, how did you pull so-and-so? She's the finest girl I've seen, you know. I basically pulled the kind of girls, I don't mean pull abusively, but that's what the term, one of the terminologies for attracting girls was back then. I was attracting girls that most teenage boys were not able to be successful with. I was attracting the ones they could not attract. Because I was myself, I never tried too hard. Unlike them, they was always trying too hard. Would just laugh, and they would say, you don't understand how not gay Antonio is, but you keep thinking he's gay. Okay, because all the girls were sleeping with me. And not with any of those guys. You had teenage girls recommending other teenage girls for me. Because even at that time, I started having a reputation for my erotic prowess, my sensual prowess, so to speak. I do remember at that time that when girls would laugh and start bragging about how awesome I am, they would do it in code. And eventually the guy started thinking, wait, I gotta keep my girl from Antonio. They were never successful in that because they kept sleeping with me anyway. I do remember off the bat the girls were just grabbed my phone and shoved their numbers in my phone, their cell phone numbers. And they would shove all their contact information in my phone. That used to happen all the time. That's how you know when a female truly is that interested in you. So the girls back then, they complimented me on my performance, my everything, my whole body and personality. But the other guys, horror stories between them, you know, teenage boys and teenage girls, I'm talking about. And I just remember that eventually the guys found out and were heartbroken that any of the girls I liked, and any of the girls I was able to sleep with. And they also didn't like that, hey, you're sleeping with all the girls I'm into. That's why a lot of teenage boys tried to keep teenage girls away from me. Never succeeded, also because we had erotic inquisitiveness and sensual inquisitiveness regarding each other. So I was known as a girlizer back then. Every girl I was sexing were victims of physical abuse, sexual abuse, because we talked about our childhoods even as children. And it reminds me of my sexual past when I would meet women in my early young man adulthood, literally bumping into them out and about Leesburg, Florida, walking. And, you know, my Southern hospitality ways about myself, verbally, non-verbally, were appealing to them. Going about chivalry the way Southern hospitality says to. And I remember that the women were my personal chauffeurs. Everywhere we wanted to go, especially where I wanted to go, they would take us. And I remember with the women in particular, that I was I remember that the women would purchase Magnum condoms for me, or would have free Magnum condoms sent to their homes. I'm not bragging about the obvious. At the same time, I'm telling these stories so people can understand that rape survivors, we struggle with sexuality and sex after rape, and that autism and sexuality tends to be overlooked, dismissed, and ignored. So that was the only reason why I bring up these subjects. Besides, people with autism are not being treated as fully human, and rape survivors are not being treated as fully human either. That's why I go from being above me on to share such stories. But as for my pre-adolescence, it was being in girls' parents' homes. Their beds mostly. Every now and then their parents' beds where the sex would happen. So I was between what, 5 all the way to 13 with girls in my age bracket, each age I turned. And it was, of course, I was shooting blanks back then. I said it respectfully, but I had kind of a hard on, but we were experimenting, so we didn't care much about that. When I became a teenager, you care a lot about that stuff. Now, we were ejaculating then. The girls didn't ejaculate back then between 5 and 13. When I got to 13, that's when they started to. 11, 10, they started ejaculating, and so did I. But we ejaculated the most in childhood in terms of teenage boys, teenage boy me, teenage girls them. So, we never got caught. I remember us going places. Private places to have sex, me and teenage girls. We have sex in public places, but we would go where people didn't go in public, or we would go places where we knew we were never going to get caught because we didn't stay too long to get caught. So the more that girls recommended me to other girls for sex as teenagers, the more sex I had with more teenage girls at the time. They became cool simply because they had full body orgasms. I was the type of lover that I prioritized female orgasms over my own male orgasm. So every girl I was having sex with, they never complained. They only gave glowing reports to other girls in our age bracket. And I talked about my adolescence already on that. Now to my early young man adulthood, same result. No complaints, glowing reports, women to other women. Which is why I kept having sex with more and more women, with more sex, because of it. And thank you. I just remember at the time, feeling like I was sexually washed up and sexually used up. Because to be a church boy at the time, and we taught about fornication from the biblical standpoint, and at the same time, I was doing a lot of bumping and grinding, meaning sex. I felt like at the time I was a sexual hypocrite. I just didn't know how to word it like that, but I felt it. So there was agony and anguish in my heart. So the last thing I got to say is that sex positive parenting helps us rape survivors and people with autism out.